God, it's
It's Friday afternoon, and your work week is over.
Woo-hoo!
Get in the last word on FM 107.5 at 1070 The Fan.
You can't listen to that montage and not know what time of the day and what time of the week it is.
Indeed.
It's Friday.
Indeed.
TGIF, thank
God. You know, I have
God.
Found, though, if you start drinking on Tuesday, Friday isn't that big a deal, Matt.
Well, this was a long week, you know, okay. With the snow. It was -6 on my way in this morning. Are you kidding me? -6 with a pile of snow on the ground. Hey, thanks to JMV for the lead-in, by the way. What'd you think of his show today?
He's awesome. He's unbelievable. Perhaps the best ever.
It's a stretch, don't you think? But nonetheless,
I
we're happy.
Myself, really.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? We're going to talk a lot about the weekend coming up. Football season is over, but there's a lot of high school hoops tonight, a lot of college basketball tomorrow. The Winter Olympics get going tonight with the opening ceremonies in Sochi, Russia. So a lot to get to, Dog. Let's hit on the Olympics here a little bit. Do you get jacked up for the big games?
No, but I do watch. Jacked up? No, but I'll watch it. I watch everything. I watch the Pro Bowl. We've talked about that. You're right. If it's bored, I'm probably watching it in some regard, and I do enjoy watching people at the pinnacle of their sport, whatever that sport is, and you learn a little bit in the Olympics. So, I'll be watching it without question.
Plenty of other things to talk about, too, and we do that on Headlines.
It's time for some headlines.
All right, we got a marquee matchup tonight. The Pacers are back in action. They host the Portland Trailblazers tonight at Bankers Life. It is a meeting of two of the top five teams in the NBA. The Pacers have won three in a row, and they still own the best record in the association, Dog. But the last time they played the Trailblazers, they lost out west by 4 points, 106-102. Paul George had a game that night. Game is an understatement. A career high 43 points, but that was not enough to stop LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard, who combined for 54 that night. So it is it's the middle of the winter. I know we can't get excited over just one game in the NBA, but I think this is the closest thing to getting hype in the NBA. It's the middle of winter, and we have two really good teams tonight.
Indeed, and I think, you know, the key of losing the last game was at their place, and West Coast swings are difficult whenever you have to make that trip, and you got the same thing, them coming here. I expect the Pacers to win. I think the key now with the Pacers, if you want the one seed, you've got to continue to win. You got to get back to that defensive prowess that you had several weeks ago and get right back into that.
Yeah, the Pacers have the best record in the NBA, and from a fan standpoint, that's all you can ask for. But I think going out west, going 3-2, maybe losing a game or two that you should have won, coming back home, you lose to Phoenix. That has some of the national pundits raising their eyebrow a little bit. So tonight's game, I think, would go a long way if you win it. The Pacers are for real, and this is their year.
Well, you got to fill talk shows, and you got to fill news shows, and that's why you're talking about. But dropping some games is not a big deal in the NBA, with the exception of getting the one seed, and that has always been the goal for these guys. And I expect them to jump all over Portland tonight.
I know it's old news now, but the acquisition of Andrew Bynum, I love it. Not too many teams have a 26-year-old former All-Star coming off the bench.
Indeed.
All right, headline number two, Dunk Master sticking with the
Pacers.
I
love this.
Yeah, right?
This I love.
Absolutely. Pacers All-Star guard Paul George will participate in the Slam Dunk Challenge coming up All-Star Weekend later on this month. The six-man field will feature John Wall from the Wizards, Portland's Damian Lillard, Terrence Ross from Toronto, Harrison Barnes out of Golden State, and then the fantastic rookie Ben McLemore out of Sacramento. So for me, Dog, the refreshing thing about this is that you're going to see some stars and some actual All-Stars competing in the slam dunk competition.
That's big for the NBA, but I think more importantly, more selfishly for me, I think it's huge for Paul George and the Pacers. I think now, in fact, you're going to get a spotlight on how good this guy has become through obviously talent early, but great work since then, getting here, putting himself and his team in this position. I think it'll shine a light on the Pacers nationally, and they'll get the recognition they deserve.
Now that we have George and Lillard in this thing, and like I said, a couple of All-Stars for the first time since I think it was 1988 that we have three actual All-Stars in the slam dunk competition. Now we just need LeBron James and Durant in this thing. Then we'd have a show.
That would be spectacular.
You know what I mean?
Then won't happen.
happen. Then we'd have a show. It won't happen. But can you imagine if it did, we would go back to the slam dunk, you know, popularity of the 1980s. All right, a big, big weekend for the Indiana Hoosiers. They started off the Big Ten slate a little slow, but they're on the proverbial bubble now after beating some really good competition the last couple of weeks. A pair of then-ranked number 10 inside the top 10 teams with Wisconsin, and then they came home after losing to a Nebraska to beat Michigan at Assembly Hall on Sunday. The thing with the Hoosiers, dog, you don't know which team you're going to get. They're a Jekyll and Hyde bunch, and they have a really big game at Minnesota tomorrow night.
Signature wins don't mean a thing if you don't have enough wins.
Yeah.
Right? The number of wins is the much more important thing. They've got to do that. You know, Yogi, as good a shooter as he's become, is not going to go 7-for-8 from three-point range every time out. He did a marvelous job defensively as well in that game. But, you know, you knew going in that they struggle outside shooting. Teams will pack it in against them. It'll become difficult. That being said, it appears that they're working hard, trying to find the guys on the floor that work together. But, yeah, it's another big week.
With 9 conference games to go and 5 of those on the road, Indiana still has a chance to get some quality wins. They have 5 games left against top 50 teams in the country. Still not out of the realm of possibility that the Hoosiers go dancing.
No, but I think it's the number of wins that they need more than anything. I think if they get to the number, they'll be in. But
what
I don't
the number?
Well, I think you probably got to go 500 in the Big Ten. You know, I thought that going in, if you go sub that, you put yourself, you know, in peril. So we'll see. But I think they would have to finish 500 in the Big Ten. And I think if they do, then they'll be in.
All right, sticking with college basketball, there's a pair of teams left undefeated, Syracuse and Wichita State. Syracuse is number 1 in both the polls. Wichita State is as high as number 2 in the coaches' poll. Which of these teams has a better chance of finishing out the regular season unblemished?
Wichita State, because of the conference that they play in. It's a good conference. Do not get me wrong. It's a very, very good basketball conference, but they are certainly the cream of the crop there. There's probably more pitfalls for Syracuse than there is for Wichita State.
Completely agree, based on the schedule and the league that they play in. This is the toughest week for Wichita State. On Wednesday night, they went to Indiana State, got that win, scratched and clawed their way to another victory. Then tomorrow on Saturday, they have a game at Northern Iowa. I think if they win that game, they have a really good chance of finishing out at least the regular season undefeated. Whereas Syracuse, they still have a couple of tough road games inside the ACC. They still have to play at Duke, which is always tough. Doggy, let's get it started. We talked about it at the top of the show, but the Winter Olympics tonight with the opening ceremonies. Which event in the Olympics most intrigues you?
I like downhill skiing. These guys are flying. Many are going much faster than I go on 65. They're flying down that thing, and I think that's just the most breathtaking event. You know, I'm not a big figure skating guy. I know that will come as a shock to you. But downhill skiing, I still think, is the marquee event for me.
Yeah, ski jumping, bobsled, and hockey, they get it going for me. Snowboarding is okay as well. Ones I don't like, speed skating, just don't get it. You know, guys flying around in a small-ass circle, going as fast as they can. The luge, not sure what the talent is there. I mean, what kind of hammer do you have to be to enjoy cross-country skiing?
Well, I don't get that. And the luge, okay, I'll give you that. But I would argue speed skating is not much different than track, and I love track, right? I mean, so it's the same sort of deal for me. And I think those constant turns.
The strategy, I don't understand it. They all kind of get in a line.
Well, that's why you don't like it, Matt, because you can't understand
it. That's it. I'm ignorant okay? to the process.
All right. Well, there you go.
Those are the headlines, even though some of them don't make sense on this Friday afternoon. A lot more to get into as we talk about the Winter Olympics. Football season is over, so it's cold outside. We're all going to be staying inside this weekend and enjoying some basketball with the Pacers tonight against the Portland Trailblazers. IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Butler, they are all in action as well. We'll get an update from Sochi. We'll go to Russia and talk to Nick Zaccardi from NBCSports.com and get the latest on the opening ceremonies and what to look out for. As always, we'll talk Colts on this show. Horseshoe FAQ. frequently asked questions on the horseshoes, and we'll do that with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. Get a recap on why we think Robert Mathis and Tony Dungy were snubbed. Dungy snubbed for the Hall of Fame, Mathis snubbed for Defensive Player of the Year, we think. So no offseason in the NFL. That's why we get to the NFL Quick Hits coming up next segment. This is The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
The best part about Friday afternoon.
You don't have to see your boss until Monday.
Get in The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Taco Bell Studios, where we're coming from. This is The Last Word. Matt Thaler, Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. Last Word's brought to you by Meijer. Enjoy simple savings with M-Perks digital coupons and rewards. Choose your own savings from hundreds of offers every week. Just clip your digital coupon and redeem the savings at your Meijer store. Go to mperks.meijer.com to sign up. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Coming up now, it's time for NFL Quick Hits.
They're going to come after you. Got to make them pay, y'all.
They will not run this ball today.
NFL Quick Hits are coming at you.
Quick hit number one regarding the Colts. They made some moves this week. First, they signed undrafted free agent tackle Jack Brechner. He's 6'9", 320 pounds, dog. Most recently played with the Iowa Barnstormers of the Arena Football League, a four-year starter at Gustavus Adolphus College in Minnesota. Graduated in 2010. That is a Division III school. And yesterday, the team signed undrafted free agent linebacker Henoch Mwamba, who spent the last couple of seasons playing with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL. He was the first overall pick in the CFL in 2011. So what do you make of the Colts signing these two guys who we basically never heard of?
Well, indeed, you're filling your roster, right? Right now you're grabbing guys that you want to take a look at, guys that would be ready for OTAs, that sort of thing. And you're constantly looking. There is no offseason for these guys. In the middle of the year, scouts are out looking. Who do we got? You don't grab these guys, somebody else does. You miss your opportunity. The kid from the Canadian Football League, I mean, not only was he drafted number one in the CFL, but he's won multiple awards over the last couple, two, three seasons. And two words for you, Jarrell Freeman.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, the same sort of background. So it'll be interesting. It's always fun to watch these guys do their thing. You got to remember, Combine starts the 20th. You know, it's right around the corner. So these guys continue to look everywhere to try to find players. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, low risk, high reward, especially when you bring up the fact that that's the situation Jarrell Freeman was in a couple years ago, and now he's really close to becoming a household name. He certainly is here in Indianapolis. And, you know, Division III guy, another Division III guy, Freeman, this Jack Brechner, the pride of the Golden Gusties from Gustavus College in Minnesota. So who knows if either one of these guys is going to make the team. But if they do, maybe the Mwamba kid can add some depth at linebacker. We don't know what Pat Anger's situation is going to be. He's a free agent, so maybe these guys can come in and contribute year one like Freeman did.
Well, and obviously you're filling a much larger roster going in now than right. You will when you start playing the season. You're 90 instead of 53. So you bring in a bunch of guys you can look at, take a gander at them, see what they got.
Moving on.
NFL Quick Hit 2.
Martin to the Colts. Jonathan Martin, who left the Dolphins last fall because of what he described as overly zealous hazing from teammate Richie Cognito and others, is expected to be traded or released from the Dolphins at some point in the offseason. That has led to widespread speculation that maybe the Colts would be a destination for the former Stanford All-American. Why? Because quarterback Andrew Luck and other Stanford teammates, as well as offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton, have good relationships with Martin. So would it make sense for Martin to come here based on the number of Stanford guys that are in the locker room?
Well, not based on the number of Stanford guys. Would it make sense to get him? Yeah, you get him because he's an NFL lineman. You don't get him because he's going to be a starter. I believe that's the position he plays, the tackle spot, is where we appear to be
pretty
well set. That being said, you always need backups, and perhaps he can get a look at guard. Don't know whether you going to take a gander there, but a good quality backup. This always comes down to price.
The offensive line was ravaged with injury all year, but the two spots that stayed pretty consistent were the tackles. Gozer Cherilis and Anthony Costanzo. Initially, I think it didn't make sense, but now we just see the signing of Jack Brechner, who is a tackle.
It makes sense for depth. Yeah. It doesn't make sense because you wouldn't trade for him.
Right.
Right? But if you can sign him, get him in here, he's obviously got some talent.
NFL Quick Hit 3.
Thursday night football's on the move because CBS will televise 8 Thursday night games coming up in the 2014 season. It'll feature play-by-play announcers Jim Nantz and color analyst Phil Sims on all the games. In addition to broadcasting 8 early season games, CBS will also produce a total of 14 Thursday night games and a couple of Saturday evening games. The remaining games will air on the NFL Network. Will this move help Thursday night football catch on nationally?
It can't hurt. I mean, it's CBS, right? You know, my only concern is, what are they going to do with Mike and Molly? Right? I mean, that was my first thought. Or the Big Bang
Theory. Where is the Big Bang Theory
going?
Right?
You know, that's my only thought then. But of course it will help.
Your Thursday night primetime programming is getting all shuffled.
But where it also might help with CBS coming aboard and making a financial commitment, they might figure out that they've got to put some good Thursday night matchups
on. Well, that's just it. I've always thought Thursday night football was unnecessary because, according to the CBA, everybody has to play on Thursday night, so that means you're getting a 2-10 Jaguar team on Thursday night, and you can't flex the games. Most people still don't have the NFL Network. I know cable is everywhere now, but most people still don't have the NFL Network, and furthermore, most people don't watch the NFL Network, so therefore the games just get forgotten.
But it will certainly help. I mean, that's unarguable.
NFL Quick Hit 4.
Last Quick Hit, Brotherly Love Super Bowl. Philadelphia Mayor Mayor, I don't know what this guy's name is, but he thinks that a Super Bowl in the city of Brotherly Love would surpass last Sunday's big event in New York, hosted for the first time in an outdoor stadium in a cold weather site. He said that, heck yeah, we want it, and we can do it better than anybody. Now, officials in New England, Denver, and Minnesota, they have also expressed interest in hosting the big game, but Commissioner Roger Goodell said he's going to stop short of guaranteeing more cold weather games to come. So now we've got everybody who is in a cold weather climate. They're going to want a Super Bowl after we more or less dodged a bullet there in Super Bowl 48 in New York.
Everybody wants a Super Bowl, right? I mean, every city would want a Super Bowl. Every franchise would want a Super Bowl. But there's a lot more to do with it than do you have a stadium and a team?
Yeah.
Do you have the infrastructure? Can you put it together?
Can you get people out of
you
there?
You know, in and out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more than just the game. Actually, there's much more than just the game. It becomes the epicenter of the National Football League for that certainly 10-day period. I think they'll look at everybody. I don't think they'll automatically throw anybody out, but I expect them to go on a fairly regular rotation to Miami and San Diego and Arizona and then throw one in every now and again.
Let's hope so. I mean, there's really no point of it. I mean, why take the chance on having snow, rain, wind, anything affect the biggest game of the year when you have, you know, perceivedly the best two teams in the NFL playing for a championship? Why risk it? I mean, you've dodged a bullet the day before and the day after in New York was terrible. I just don't understand why risk it. Sooner or later, if they do it, they're going to get burned by it.
I don't think they'll start all of a sudden playing everywhere where there's an NFL franchise. I just don't think it'll happen.
Let's hope not, because nobody wants to go in New England one way in, one way out in early February if there's a blizzard out there.
Not sure I want to go to New England in June.
No.
You know? August.
No. If they got free Sam Adams, maybe. But that's a stretch. Those are the NFL Quick Hits. We talk NFL every week here on The Last Word in conjunction with the Colts. As promised, more horseshoe conversation. Colts frequently asked questions with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. That is next. Stay with us. You're listening to The Last Word.
We feel great. Our 12th man stood up today, and they screamed their butts off.
A bunch of different guys making plays.
He's hit as he throws the ball through. It's picked up by Walden.
Just the way the team, we stuck together. We kept fighting. Just showed what type of team we had.
Way downfield to T.Y. He's got it. He's going to score. He's going to score.
You know, you always want to win at home. You got such great fans.
He's going to take it himself. He's going to bootleg it and score. Andrew Luck from 6 yards out.
It's time for Off-Season Horseshoe FAQ on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
That's right. Frequently asked questions on the Colts. This is Horseshoe FAQ, an in-depth look at off-season hot stove questions on the Colts with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, who's inside here with us now inside the Taco Bell studio. Before we get going, the Colts are in search of several exceptional women to represent the team as members of the upcoming Colts cheerleading squad. Auditions for the 2014 cheerleaders begin Sunday, March 23rd at noon. Here at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center, individuals interested in trying out for the team are asked to pre-register. You can do that at Colts.com/auditions. KB, a lot of stuff to get into. Reactionary things from last week. Last Saturday before the Super Bowl, the NFL handed out the end-of-season awards, and Robert Mathis did not receive the Defensive Player of the Year award, although he did win the Deacon Jones Award. Luke Kuechly from the Panthers won the award, overall Defensive Player of the Year. My question is concerning that. How much of Mathis not winning the award is due to the Colts being sort of middle of the pack this season and the Panthers having a really good defense?
Kind of similar to the Heisman Trophy Award. You give it to the quarterback on the best team, and I think in this case we saw it. Carolina's defense is ranked number 2 in the NFL, so Kuechly is by far their best player. I thought Richard Sherman or Earl Thomas would actually be Mathis's stiffer competition, but Mathis really wasn't even close to winning it, which I was shocked. And for me, the reason that I feel like Mathis deserved to win this award is the game-changing plays. The 19.5 sacks, the 8 forced fumbles speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. But those 8 forced fumbles, I believe, led to 35 Colts points. And he did this against playoff teams. We saw the couple sacks against Colin Kaepernick, 2 again against Russell Wilson. Obviously, the strip sack against Peyton Manning and Alex Smith are huge plays. So for me, it was the game-changing plays that Mathis made, whereas Kuechly, and I know playing inside linebacker, you don't make as many of those game-changing plays, but Jarrell Freeman did this year. He forced 7 turnovers from his inside linebacker spot, whereas Kuechly only had 4 picks and 2 sacks on the year. So for me, I felt like Mathis deserved to win that award just of how he impacted the game and what he meant to this Colts defense.
So you think some of the voters slacked off in their research a little bit? They saw the high ranking of the defense, they saw his individual numbers and said, yep, there's our winner.
I mean, again, it kind of goes back to that Heisman Trophy. It's like, it's more of a team award when in reality it should be an individual award. So Robert Quinn and Robert Mathis deserve to be at that pedestal, in my opinion, that should be higher than Kuechly. Kuechly is a great, great player in this league, and he is going to be for a long, long time. But I think for 2013, Robert Mathis deserved to win that award.
Yeah. All right, Marvin Harrison and Tony Dungy, they were the story last weekend. They are still here in the sense that they were among 15 finalists for the Hall of Fame class, but neither of them got in this year. Instead, wide receiver Andre Reed was voted in after 7 years of waiting. And I thought, Kevin, that we all agreed that Marvin Harrison had a better resume than Reed, but here we are. Harrison is on the outside looking in.
And this is another one that I am kind of shocked about. To me, I don't care if he's had to wait 7 years. If you're a Hall of Famer, you are a Hall of Famer. Marvin, first ballot or not, he is a Hall of Famer. In 3 less seasons, again, he played 3 fewer seasons than Reed. 41 more touchdowns, 151 more catches, and 1,300 more receiving yards. I mean, that's in 3 less seasons. That is just a shock to me how Marvin does not get in over Andre Reed. But I think when you get those voters in that room, kind of get guys that are like, it's his time to go in, which to me, I don't really agree with. I think when you hear the name Marvin Harrison, coming after that should be first ballot Hall of Famer. Tony Dungy, I wasn't as shocked. Peter King from Sports Illustrated was a guy that was a Hall of Fame voter. He was in that room. He said Dungy's, the talk over Dungy lasted 47 minutes, which is the longest of anyone in that room. He did think that Harrison, he was shocked that Harrison didn't get in. He thinks Harrison will be at the top of the list next year. So I do think Marvin will get in, but I think having that name, having that, you know, label first ballot Hall of Famer is something that really resonates with Marvin Harrison.
All right, fans are already talking about free agency. This is Horseshoe FAQ, where we talk about hot button offseason Colts issues with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. And when you bring up free agency, the guy that goes to the top of the list more times than not is Vontae Davis. Mm-hmm. Now, Vontae will tell you he had an up-and-down season.
Right.
When he was on, he was on.
Oh,
he was one of the best cover cornerbacks in the league, and then when he was off, let's be honest, a couple of teams exposed him a little bit. The Colts gave up a second-round draft pick to get him last year, so they're going to be highly interested in retaining him, but several other teams are going to be interested in luring him away. So with that said, do the Colts have a ceiling that they're not going to go over to bring Davis back?
I mean, I think the ceiling is going to be pretty high because having a coveted lockdown corner that has the potential that Davis has is there are not many in this league, and you have one right here in your own building. I think there's genuine interest in both parties. I think Ryan Grigson, he wasn't really shy about how much he loves Davis and how much he values having a lockdown guy you can put out there on an island with this defense, I think is a huge factor in keeping Davis here. This is an aggressive attacking style defense, so having Davis out on an island, being able to put him out there, take away Demaryius Thomas, Danny Amendola, these other, you know, guys on some of the top teams in the AFC is huge. And I think Davis also wants to be here. Ever since that trade, he hasn't been shy either in saying how much he loves Indy. Again, Chuck Pagano, former defensive backs coach. Those two, I think, really get along well together. And Vontae's talked about how Chuck has kind of helped him on and off the field as well with his life. So I think both parties, there is some genuine interest in trying to get him back here, and I fully expect Vontae to be back in Colts uniform next year.
Certainly. All right, one final thing before we let you go. The Combine is not next week, but the week after. The Colts don't have a first-round draft pick, so how are they approaching the Combine knowing that right now they're not going to be players in the first round?
Well, I mean, the Colts are definitely going to evaluate their entire board, and that depending on how that board falls on Thursday, May 8th, could the Colts move up into the first round? I think that's probably unlikely, but you never know with Ryan Grigson and his staff. So it's now finding what are the deepest positions. Sounds like defensive line, cornerbacks are some of the deeper spots in this draft. And all you have to do is look back to last year. Four of the five finalists for NFL Rookie of the Year were second and third round picks. So you had guys like Keenan Allen, Eddie Lacy, Giovanni Bernard, Kiko Alonso. Those guys are drafted in the second and third round.
Studs.
Yeah. The Colts can definitely find not only starters, but impact players with those second and third round picks. And for this team to take that next jump, I think starters and impact players are going to have to be found with those picks, because there's not much of a gap from this team and playing deep into January and early February. So finding those guys at the Combine is the first start of the process here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. All right, that's Horseshoe FAQ with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. Always appreciate you stopping by weekly here on this segment. What are you writing about on Colts.com, and what around the league is sparking your interest right now?
We got some burning questions right now up on the website, looking at the defense. The front seven went up on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we had going up some questions looking at the secondary and the specialists, because Adam Vinatieri, Pat McAfee are two more free agents that are definitely high on the Colts radar here as we approach the offseason. Then some NFL news. We've added some Thursday night games. CBS will air 8 Thursday night games at the beginning of the year. Phil Simms and Nance. And Nance will be doing those games. And we also will have 2 Saturday games during Week 16. So the Colts, it'll be interesting to see when the schedule comes out, usually mid to late April, where the Colts will fall. You got to expect some more primetime games from this team, considering all the pieces that are coming back, and Andrew Luck obviously taking more of a national spotlight.
Yes, don't bring up those primetime games, because they don't affect just the players now.
Long nights and early mornings for us.
They do, indeed. By the way, the Thursday night games, I've always thought, I mean, it's good that they're going to CBS and more people will be able to watch them. I get all that, but it's unnecessary.
And I think players just hate them.
Why?
They can't stand
There's
it
no point. It's not like people wouldn't watch that extra game on Sunday.
Now, all about safety in this league, and I feel like having those shorter weeks, injuries just pile up. You basically have a late practice on a Monday and just a small walkthrough on a Tuesday. Sometimes you got to get on a plane and fly somewhere. It seems like the Colts have been on the road for numerous Thursday night games here in the past couple of years, so I think that'll be a big issue to see. And maybe, who knows, the Colts could also fall on Thanksgiving. They travel to Dallas this year, so that could be an interesting primetime game, Thanksgiving down there in Jerry's World.
The NFL Network, I just always forgot about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I just forgot about it. Yeah. You know, it's 8 o'clock, and, oh, yeah, by the way, the Rams are playing the Jaguars that night.
Right.
Like, who cares?
Exactly. They're not the most primetime games.
And you
games.
Can't move them, so no. You can't flex them, so you're just stuck watching a bad matchup most of the time.
Right.
Appreciate you stopping by, my friend.
Always. Thank you, mate. I appreciate it.
Have a good week, and that is, again, Horseshoe FAQ with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, and we've highlighted it throughout the show. The football season is over, so we're trying to find other things that spark our interest. Maybe we can do that starting this weekend with the Winter Olympics. The opening ceremonies coming up at 7:30 on NBC. We'll get an update from Sochi and what we can expect starting this weekend with Nick Zaccardi from NBC Sports. We'll do that next when The Last Word returns, coming up next.
The weekend is here.
Get it started right with the boys on The Last Word on FM 1075 and 1070 The Fan.
From the Taco Bell studio, I'm Matt Taylor. Jimmy Mad Dog Manis Reed joins us here on The Last Word, FM 1075 and 1070 The Fan. Let's get right to it. The Winter Olympics start tonight with the opening ceremony scheduled for 7:30 on NBC. Our next guest, Nick Zaccardi, is from NBCSports.com. He's also the editor of NBC Olympic Talk. And Nick, as I said, the opening ceremonies are tonight, and obviously everybody looks forward to that because it's like the halftime of the Super Bowl with all the lights and the laser shows, and Beijing and London put on a huge show. I know those are Summer Olympic Games, but do you have any insight on what we're in store for tonight with the opening ceremonies in Sochi?
Well, they keep it a very closely guarded secret, but the one thing that's kind of been unavoidable is the fireworks that seem to be going off almost every night in the Olympic Park when they're doing their rehearsals. So it's definitely going to be a show. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Russians know they can't match what was done in Beijing with the sheer size and scope of it, and they shouldn't try since they're Winter Games. But they have a unique opportunity to show off Russia's history and culture and kind of present the new Russia as it is. I'm not sure if that's the route they're going to go, but it's kind of the way most nations do it, is they go through their own history and highlight, you know, the positives and also try and portray what they currently are. So I imagine we're going to see a real look back at kind of the high points in Russian history, as well as highlighting kind of what Russia has become in the post-Soviet era.
Nick, as we get rolling on with the actual games, it appears that most of the talk thus far has been with the accommodations, lack thereof. Is there a great deal of excitement to get started with the games so we can start talking about sport?
That's exactly what I've been waiting for these last few days, and it seems like we finally are starting to get into the actual competitions and athletes now that they're starting up. Obviously, Shaun White pulling out of an event was a big deal. Yeah, I'm excited for the games to get started. Obviously, the issues, we shouldn't ignore them, but at the same time, the Olympics happen because of the athletes and because of the sport, and that's kind of why we're all here.
Nick, you mentioned Shaun White pulling out of the slopestyle competition. Several people this week leading up to the start of the Olympic Games have been hurt on the course. He said it looks pretty intimidating. How much of him pulling out of that event is, you know, it's justified in that he doesn't want to get hurt? And how much of it is that he just wants to save face and save this public opinion of him that he is a gold medalist Olympic athlete and he doesn't want to do anything to tarnish that reputation?
Well, yeah, people have been saying different things about Sean's decision there. And ultimately, the only person that knows the real reason behind it is Shaun. And he's certainly justified in saying that's an injury risk. Other athletes got hurt on that and on that course, and other athletes have raised complaints about the course. And at the same time, we have to realize that few other snowboarders are in two events. The Canadians that voice their opinions on social media, those guys are only doing one event. You know, they don't have to think about their bodies being healthy again for another event in these games, especially for Shaun. The half pipe is his biggest event, so he's going to focus there. But and at the same time with him in slopestyle, if you've seen the articles or he had a documentary on NBC recently, you saw how hard he was working on slopestyle this whole past year and getting back into it. And that's not something that's not a decision he would take lightly, pulling out of that event, how competitive he is and how much work he put into it. I think those are kind of points that we need to realize with this whole situation.
Nick, do you have a thought comparing the worldwide appeal of the Olympics as compared to the American appeal of the Olympics? How do others see it as compared to the way we see it?
That's a good question, because I'm often out at different venues here trying to track down international stars, not just Americans. And you see the press contingents following, say, the Japanese figure skaters, which is just, it's a madhouse. In different countries, different sports are king. In Russia, biathlon is actually a very, very popular sport. And you know the Brooklyn Nets owner, Mikhail Prokhorov, is the president of the Russian Biathlon Union. And that's a pretty big deal for him. If the Russian biathletes don't perform, he might be out of a job. It's a really big deal over here. And like I said, Japan, figure skating is so huge. South Korea, the short track speed skaters are superstars. Ski jumpers in places like Austria and Norway, they can't walk down a street without people, you know, hounding them for autographs and pictures. So it's the scope of the Winter Olympics in the U.S., it's far more popular, these sports, in other countries than the U.S. in terms of, you know, short track, speed skating, or biathlon. Obviously, hockey in the U.S. is pretty big, in Canada as well. The athletes the U.S. has in some of these smaller sports, as we see them.
Извините, связь прервалась.
Sorry, the connection is lost.
See, that's never happened to me before. But I knew. They didn't have to tell me in English. I knew what you said.
Well, I guess Nick Zicardi is lost in translation there, Doug.
Well, here's the deal. He was actually, for those who don't know, because I don't think we said at the beginning of the interview, he's actually on a bus in Russia. At what point in time in your broadcasting career do you strive to be broadcasting from a bus in Russia?
At no point do you strive to do that. At no point would you ever want to do anything from Russia, I don't think. We'll try to get Nick on the horn here. Nick, are you with us this time? Nick, are you there?
Sorry, I must have lost reception for a second.
That's all right. Did you go through a rough patch, Nick?
It's good to hear they even have dead spots in here, Russia.
So. Did the bus hit one of those stray dogs in Sochi?
there are a lot of stray dogs up in the mountains. I see at least a few every day. Yeah. So they're still here.
All right, so let's get back to the Olympic conversation. No Lindsey Vonn in the games this week, and she's probably the most recognizable American skier. So for the average American Winter Olympic fan, as far as skiing is concerned, who do we turn our attention to right now? I know there's a guy from Indiana, this Nick Gepper, who is fantastic in the slopestyle competition. He's a Hoosier, so a lot of people around here are starting to find out who he is and what he's all about. What more can you tell us about this Nick Gepper kid who's only 19 and is taking the world by storm?
Yeah, Nick Gepper is a really interesting case, actually, because of all the athletes that I've been tracking, USA has got more than 200 during the Olympics. I think he has taken advantage of the Olympic bump that these athletes get as far as opportunities to do things outside their sport, talk shows or, you know, what have you, events. I think he's taking advantage of it more than anybody. You've seen him on Letterman. He went to the Golden Globe Awards and you saw pictures of him with Taylor Swift and U2. The guy, you can tell, he's just absolutely living it up. And you know what? He deserves it. He is a gold medal contender. He was absolutely fantastic in the Olympic selection events in December, earned his spot really quickly, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him win it all in Sochi. He's really got that great talent. But
well,
he's in a new event, so it's a bit unpredictable, but yeah. He's looking really good.
It's obviously a huge advantage growing up in the mountainous regions that is southern Indiana.
Lawrenceburg.
Which is truly amazing. I mean, it's really fun to watch. Here's the deal, though, Nick, of the guys that I run around with, Winter Olympics, obviously we get a bit more excited here for the Summer Olympics. A lot more games that we see, care about, many of these events we don't do. But it seems like everyone I talk to is intrigued by curling. And I don't know why that is, but it seems everyone I talk about this, they're, all right, a little figure skating, a little this, and boy, I'll bet you I could make the curling team. But this must be big in some areas, correct?
Yeah, it has its pockets. I mean, curling is you know, kind of a once every 4 years phenomenon in the U.S. You get people coming together to watch the curling games and having their fun with it. But it does have its serious areas. Scandinavia, I would say, it gets pretty big in pockets in Canada. And even in northern U.S., like Minnesota, Wisconsin area, there are a lot of curling leagues and clubs. But it really hasn't caught on worldwide too much yet, as far as I believe China a little bit, but there's still a lot of room for growth there.
That's good breakdown right there from Nick Zicardi from NBCSports.com. And Nick, keep up the good work. And I know probably the easiest way to communicate with everybody back home trying to keep tabs on the Winter Olympics is through the Twitter account. So tell people where they can find your work.
Yeah, I'm at twitter.com/NZicardi. You can find there. I'm usually tweeting about some random weird things from time to time, but you know, tweet out my stories and best stories from around the web and around the world during the Olympic Games to try and get a good international flavor there. So check it out.
Very good. Keep up the good work, my friend. We appreciate your time.
All right, my pleasure, guys.
Thanks, right. Nick.
Again, that's Nick Zicardi from NBCSports.com, live from Russia. And good that we made it through the interview, Dog, without another dead patch.
You know, here's the deal. With the Winter Olympics, what are there, 15, 16 events, something
15.
Like that, right?
Yep.
And very few of which I know anything about. You know, the biathlon, they're on skis and they got a gun, right? Or something like that.
Something like that.
You know, it's like cross-country skiing. You stop, you do some things like that. Curling, you know, I've seen it. Looks kind of cool. Looks like it'd be fun to play. You know, but it looks more like a cross between shuffleboard and cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like
three, two, one.
Some guys
that's
got together
system.
And it's an Olympic sport, you know? But that being said, you still got hockey and you still got figure skating and downhill skiing, you know, love the half pipe, that sort of thing. But it's just just an interesting feel here as compared to in many other pockets of the world where these sports are much, much larger. I won't miss any of it. Won't lie to you. Love watching the Olympics. But at that being said, there's a lot. It's a 1 in 4 year thing.
Right.
For me.
So, yeah, that in that aspect, you have to look forward to it and you have to watch it and you have to appreciate what the athletes are doing. They should have the Winter Olympics here this week.
Well, they could. There's more snow in Beech Grove and the hotels are better.
The day's in off of 65.
I'm just telling you, man.
Jimmy Mad Dog Manis, I'm Matt Taylor. Maybe we'll put in our bid for the 2022 Olympics.
I'm telling you
and
what.
And pray for snow. This will be fun. We'll close out the show. We're having fun. Stay with us. This is The Last Word, FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Kill that slave driver to shove that sweatshop right up.
Nothing matters but the weekend.
Open up a cold one and kick back. This working week is over. Time to clock out on The Last Word with Jimmy Bad Dog Matus and Matt Taylor.
That's right. Punch that time card. Get the hell out of work. It's Friday. Pacers play tonight. Big game. It's time to clock out. But before we do that, we'll tell you H.H. Gregg. They know appliances and electronics. You know why? So you don't have to. In fact, H.H. Gregg is the official appliance and electronics retailer of the Indianapolis Colts. This is The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070. The Fan, Jimmy Mad Dog made us here. I'm Matt Taylor inside the Taco Bell studio. We have some fun here on this last segment before we hand you over to Pacer pregame with Boyle and Kevin Lee. It's time now to remember a win, and it's brought to you by Forum Credit Union. We always like to find out what happened on this date in history. We go back to February 7th today. Dog, I will tell you what happened. You tell me what year that these things occurred on February 7th. Pinocchio world premiered at the Center Theater in Manhattan. I was always a huge fan of this Disney animated movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Huge Pinocchio fan.
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Jiminy Cricket growing up.
Okay.
It molded me. You know what? It taught me never to lie.
Yeah, yeah, your nose is growing.
Yeah, what movie?
1968.
Way before then. I'll
really?
Give you another guess.
48.
1940.
Wow.
1940 for Pinocchio. All right, here's another one that might be better up your alley. The Beatles arrived in New York to begin their first U.S. tour. When did the Beatles first step on U.S. soil?
62.
1964.
Ooh.
All right, better one here. I think you'll know this one. I think you'll know it right on. Sports Illustrated releases its annual swimsuit edition. It was the largest regular edition in the magazine's history at 218 pages. The biggest swimsuit edition. What year?
I would say it was about 74.
74, a little bit later than that.
84.
85.
85.
1985. Do you still get the swimsuit? Does anybody?
There was a special on the other day.
Really?
Yes. All the years of Sports Illustrated. And my wife wanted to watch it. And I really didn't care to watch it. But she wanted to watch it. So you know, guess what we watched?
You know, you watched that.
Indeed.
But you know what else is funny? My wife loves to watch the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Really?
That's always this time of year, maybe a little later, and it's always like 10:30 at night on CBS or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in watching that.
Well, you know, tell Victoria
does.
The secret's out, okay? It's no longer a secret.
I don't get it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You know, once they're wearing that, secret's out. I got it.
Maybe it's because I know all of these women are completely out of my
league
and I have
deal.
No chance.
That's
so
right.
I was like, why bother?
I mean, that's like me trying to paint. You know, it's not going to happen. Well, with my life.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
All right, happy birthday today to Garth Brooks. How old is Garth today?
Garth Brooks has to be 50.
He is 52. Also, happy birthday to Chris Rock, comedian and actor. How old's Chris Rock?
45.
48.
Okay.
Chris Rock is 48 today. He's still riding the coattails of Adam Sandler, just like five other actors are. It's time now for You're Wrong.
What's wrong with life?
What if you're wrong?
You're so wrong.
What if I'm wrong? Anybody could be wrong.
Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes, sir. A couple of things in sports were backwards this week. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Okay, Joakim Noah on Monday night gets two technical fouls. He flips out over the second technical foul. Then he goes to the first ref that called the foul on him and says, blank you. But he wasn't done after that. He points at the second ref, points at the third ref, and says, blank you and blank you. And then he has to be escorted out of the arena in Sacramento. The Bulls lose by 29 points. Okay, he's fined $15,000, but the NBA doesn't suspend him. The NBA, you're wrong. How do you not suspend a guy throwing out blank U's and blank U's and blank U's, flipping birds? He has to be escorted. God knows how many little kids look up to this guy that are going to be tainted now because of the image he's portraying, and you don't suspend them.
Here's the deal.
You're wrong.
The people who are
saying... What do you have to do to get suspended?
The people that are saying, the many reporters that I have heard on talk shows that are saying they should not have suspended him, they're wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong.
I mean, there's no question about that. You have got... It's one thing. Look, you don't need to police. The cuss words are going to fly. It is sport, right? But it's between players there.
Timber's flare.
It's between players there. And that sort of thing, got no problem with it. But when you go outside of that and all of the attention is on you and you continue to roll with it, yeah, you got to be gone.
And I think that's just another reason why Pacers fans hate this clown. Every time a whistle goes on him, he flips out. I mean, he's like LeBron in that sense. He's just a clown.
See, I don't mind him. Don't mind him at all. Matter of fact, love to have him on my team. He was wrong here.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's necessarily wrong all the time. I don't mind being passionate. That sort of thing. But he overstepped this time, and I've got a problem with
that,
this.
That aspect of the NBA, you're going to call this on me? Really? I wish that would go away after every single call, seemingly. But that's my wrong for the week. Dog, you got anything?
Yeah, if you think the NBC coverage of the Olympics is about sport, you're wrong.
There you go.
It's not about sport.
No, it's not.
It's all about the vignettes. Here's the athlete, show 10 minutes... and then watch 2 minutes of the event. It's reality TV. It's what it is, but it's still compelling. I still want to watch it, but it's not about sport.
It is every 4 years. We don't know who these athletes are. Let's get to know them a little bit, and I completely agree. That is your wrong. Time to let it ride now.
It's prediction time. Play along and let it ride.
All right, you were out last week on vacay, dog, but you were solid. I mean solid in their first week of predictions.
That's why I was out last week.
5-1.
I couldn't do it twice in a row. No way.
We had to bring you back in this week. Who you got in the following games if you can...
Well, wait a minute. What was I?
You were 5-1.
5-1.
That's what I mean. You were 5-1. I was 4-2.
I missed one?
You missed one that you should have got, I think. You were inches away from a perfect week. All right, high school basketball tonight. Brebeuf is at Park Tudor. This is a huge game. A really good team in 3A versus the best team in 2A. It's at Park Tudor tonight at 7:30.
Park Tudor. I believe Park Tudor by 10 or 12.
I think Park Tudor by 20.
Yeah, could be. Because they are the best team in 2A, but they're also one of the best teams in the state, period.
There's no doubt about that. Trayvon Blewett, the kid's averaging 50 points a game, and I'm not exaggerating.
He's got some other guys that he can kick to when he is getting doubled. Right. Tripled, and he's kicking it to them, and they're knocking it down.
They've got some shooters for sure. Trailblazers at the Pacers tonight at 7 o'clock. Two of the best teams in the association.
Pacers aren't going to lose at home in front of the home crowd, in front of these guys. They're going to have their full attention. I think their defense comes back to the forefront, and I think the Pacers win.
I like the Pacers, too. College basketball tomorrow at noon. North Carolina travels to Notre Dame. Is it still weird to say North Carolina at Notre Dame in the ACC?
Indeed it is.
It doesn't roll off
no,
the tongue.
No, this is one that you figured is preseason game, right, that they put together in some sort of classic. But no, North Carolina will win this one.
I like North Carolina in that one. Indiana at Minnesota tomorrow at 8:15. It's on the Big Ten Network. The Hoosiers really need it to get back into the bubble conversation.
Minnesota coming off that triple overtime loss to Purdue at Purdue. I believe they lose another one here. I think IU wins.
I'll take Minnesota. Purdue is at Ohio State Saturday tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
I think Ohio State wins this, mainly because it's at Ohio State.
I like it because they have Aaron Kraft, and he's really good. Butler is at Georgetown tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Wait a minute. Let me write that down. Aaron Kraft is really good.
Aaron Kraft is really good.
That's why people listen to this show.
Butler's at Georgetown tomorrow at 1.
I think Butler wins this one. I think they go on the road, and I think they win this one.
I don't think they do. I think Georgetown wins. College basketball game of the week. This is the contest where College Game Day is at. Gonzaga is at Memphis Saturday at 9 o'clock.
Have you seen Memphis play?
I have.
They are really good. I like Memphis in this one.
It's at Memphis. I'll take Memphis as well. That is who you got. A lot of action coming up this weekend, even though football is not on the docket. So your Sunday's wide open, dog. What do you got planned? How are you going to fill this void?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out in the backyard and pick up the dog dude. Because right now, but right now it's really easy to do.
There's it's on the top layer.
It's
right
on
now.
The top. Actually, you could use it as a hockey puck right now. Open you can use a dustpan this weekend.
You know what? Open up a cold one tonight for me.
You think?
You know it. It's going to be one of those nights. Go Pacers tonight. They take on the Trailblazers. Pacer pregame coming up next with Mark Boyle and Kevin Lee. We'll be back next Friday night with the last word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. The